Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. The President of the United States is apparently speaking to the United Nations today. That doesn't really interest me. I don't know what he's going to say that's going to mean anything of anything importance. I'm more interested in focusing on what I call the Trumper tantrum. The fact that Trump supporters are pretty angry at him. Heck, even Ann Coulter, that great performance artist that tries to make everyone angry with her radical conservative beliefs that not everything she believes, said or suggested at this point, who doesn't want Trump impeached? Why are they so angry? Well, they're angry because Donald Trump, or more specifically, his good friends Chuck and Nancy, that's Senator Chuck Schumer, the minority leader of the United States Senate, and Nancy Pelosi, the minority leader of the House, have agreed with him or agreed to agree or somewhat suggested they might agree one day on DACA, the Dreamers, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the kids that came to this country through no fault of their own. They came with their parents as children without documents and now don't know what they're going to do next. So the median age for these kids, for the DACA kids, is 6 years old. So that means half of them came under the age of six and half over the age of six. And these, of course, are the young men and women that registered with the United States government through President Obama's executive order, the DACA executive order, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And they could do it because they have a job or they're in school, higher education, or they're serving in the military and they therefore are productive citizens and they're registered with the government. So they're giving up all their information. So obviously, you know, we get driver's license and we can tax them and treat them just like citizens, except that, well, they are, of course, not citizens. They can't vote. They don't have all of the rights under the Bill of Rights that citizens have. By the way, some people don't realize this, but people in the United States of America do have rights even if they aren't citizens. You don't have the right to vote. You can't serve on a jury. But you certainly have rights, for example, to something called due process, right? If you're accused of a crime, they still can't throw you in jail. They have to prove you guilty beyond a reasonable doubt and other things like that. Anyway, there's a lot of sympathy for the DACA kids, and for good reason. Again, whatever decisions their parents made, most of us recognize the biblical injunction that you can't blame the sins of the parents, the sins of the children. Let me say that right again. You can't blame the sins of the parent on the children. They say the sins of the fathers. I change it to parents. But the point is clear that we don't blame people for what their parents have done. And of course, I don't even blame their parents. Their parents are doing for their kids what my great-grandparents did for their children. They're seeking a better life in the United States of America. Some are coming for economic reasons. Some are coming because they're persecuted. Many come because of a combination of both things, particularly in countries like Central America, where you have drug gangs basically in control of the governments and people risk their lives just to live down there. They come here. They become productive citizens. Many of these so-called dreamers are now in their 20s, some in their 30s. They've been living here, not voting, but working hard, playing by the rules, not committing other crimes because you can't join DACA if you've committed other crimes. And, of course, this proposal was part of immigration reform, which many Republicans used to support until Barack Obama became president. And then they all flip-flopped because they didn't want to give Democrats a win. So even though this was something that President Obama tried to do for 6 years of his presidency, the Republicans wouldn't even let it get a hearing. Even though, interestingly, not only do the vast majority of Democrats support the right of Dreamers to be here, But the majority of independents and even the majority of Republicans believe that these kids, who are, by all accounts, productive American citizens, should have a right to stay. Well, when President Obama couldn't get immigration reform through, he did it by executive order. Many of us know that. And now, for 2 years, these young adults have signed up and have been protected until Donald Trump, just a few weeks ago, said that 6 months from now, all these DACA protections will end. So these kids who turned over their information to the government to protect themselves from deportation may now have that information used against them. And if you think that's a Fifth Amendment violation, it's an interesting question, by the way, because I'm not quite sure it'd be found that way. But the point is that as soon as Trump talked about deporting them all, there was an outcry, not just among Democrats, not just among independents, but even among many Republicans. It seems that virtually all of us know one of the 800,000 young adults that are here. We know the Dreamers. We know they are very good law-abiding people who are just trying to make it in America. And for the vast majority of them, they don't even remember their home country. They may not speak the language of the place they came from. They may have no memory whatsoever. If you're brought here when you're two, you're not going to remember where you were before you were two. So enter Chuck and Nancy. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi have learned how to deal with Trump's tantrums. And I must say, I give them credit for all the people that attack the Democratic Party, attack the leadership. I've heard lots of attacks on Nancy Pelosi, some on Chuck Schumer. Oh, this is the old hidebound Democratic establishment. They have no idea what they're doing. Well, let's give the two of them a little bit of credit, because they know how to deal with the President of the United States. And the answer is you treat him like the temper tantrum prone 3 or 4 year old toddler that he acts to be. That's actually very smart. They deal with the narcissistic personality by praising him. Now, don't worry. I'm not worried that Chuck or Nancy truly has praiseworthy thoughts about Donald Trump. Don't believe that for a second. But they know that how to play to his ego. And that's what you have to do. We may have to do the same kind of thing with Kim Jong-un, another, although perhaps more rational than Donald Trump, but definitely a leader with a lot of power and, let's just say, a violent temper. So they are making deals. We heard about the deal about the debt ceiling. Fascinating deal, really, given that you've heard me argue in the past that I think the debt ceiling should go away entirely. I don't think it frankly, I think it's unconstitutional in the 14th Amendment, but it certainly makes no sense for the government, having already said, bought stuff, to not pay its debts, right? It's not something you or I could do. It's one thing to say we shouldn't spend so much or we should tax more. It's quite another thing to say we should spend it, buy it, use it, and then not pay for it. That's like something Donald Trump would do to his workers. So why is Donald Trump temporarily dealing with the Democrats? Why is it making his base so angry? And what does this mean for the future? First of all, scratch out all those notions that some people are talking about. Oh, Donald Trump, the new independent president. Let's not go that far. This is not someone the Democrats can trust. Of course not, just like the Republicans can't trust him. But I must say, I enjoyed watching the Trumpists learn they couldn't trust him. I must say there was a certain joy when Donald Trump started giving the reasons why the Dreamers should be kept here, because, well, those are the reasons that Nancy and Chuck gave him. And as Chuck Schumer said, and probably shouldn't have said, because you don't want to alert the big baby with the nuclear weapons that were on to him, he basically said he could talk New York to him. And so he could. Chuck Schumer and Donald Trump have a lot more in similarity culturally than Donald Trump has with any of his greatest supporters. Indeed, culturally, Donald Trump is more similar to the moderate Republicans who reject him than he does with the true Trumpists. Who are the true Trumpists? Who are the people who march in the streets for Donald Trump? Well, they're not from New York. New York City voted 9-1 against Donald Trump. cities overall voted overwhelmingly against Donald Trump. They are largely rural and white and often evangelical Christians, which, by the way, should immediately give the lie to anyone who thinks that evangelical Christians care about their religion. I know this is a very harsh thing to say, but if you're an evangelical Christian and you support Donald Trump, well, you don't care about adultery, right? I mean, this is the same group that got so angry at Bill Clinton for cheating on his wife, right? For cheating on Hillary, as it happens. And yet Donald Trump has cheated on all of his three wives. These are the people they got so mad at Bill Clinton for, you know, his dalliance with Monica Lewinsky. And yet Donald Trump has had unwanted attacks on women and bragged about them. So you would think they would care about that. He's certainly hardly a church-going man who knows and cares about the Bible. So they've thrown their principles out the window. What are they getting for it? Why do they continue to support Donald Trump? Well, for the evangelicals, they're getting a Supreme Court justice that, in their eyes, will hopefully put in jail tens of millions of women who have abortions, will hopefully force poor women to have those kids, while, of course, opposing any care for those kids. See, rather than having an abortion, these evangelicals want the child to be born and then neglected. That's why they don't support children's health care. That's why they don't support any kind of paid family medical leave so that someone who gives birth can take care of the child. They love the fetus. They really don't like children very much, or families, though. But they get judges who will hopefully force their particular theology on the backs of Americans who don't believe it. You see, if these evangelical Christians want someone to become evangelical Christian and they try to persuade them and people don't convert, well, they have to do what the Taliban does, right? They have to use the force. Now, they're not beheading anyone, thank God for that, but they are using the power of the state to enforce their views on abortion, to enforce their views on homosexuality, on transgendered people, their views on marriage, their views on divorce, their views on a woman's place in the home, and all these things that they can't do by convincing people. They hope to use the power of the state. They want a theocracy. That's why they want prayer in schools. That's why they want money going from us, we the taxpayer, to support church schools. Right? It's very important to them. They can't raise enough money to enforce their religion on their own. They want to raise money from us, those that don't share in their religion, to support their religion. Of course, interestingly, they don't seem to want to give their taxpayer money to other people's religions. But so that's why evangelicals support Donald Trump, even though he is the least like them possible, right? I mean, they might like Mike Pence. I get that. He's one of them. But Donald Trump, in the way he acts, in the way he talks, in the way he spent his entire life, is as far from at least the ideal of what they claim as could be. And then there are the other Trump supporters. We know who they are. These are the people who, if not white supremacists proudly marching with tiki torches to the Nazi flag, let's just say are sympathetic to some of those goals. These are the people who are most angry at immigrants. These are the ones who, either because they don't like cultural diversity or because they're generally afraid that they're taking our jobs, they're generally afraid of globalization. But of course, as they're having their Trumper tantrum over the fact that Donald Trump might let the Dreamers stay, it's important to point out how much the Dreamers and immigrants help our economy. And I'll get to that when we come back. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal America. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. To the aggressive progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Trumper tantrum. Not just the tantrum that our president puts on whenever he doesn't get his way, but the way his own supporters are having a little tantrum now that he seems to be abandoning one of their core principles, which is to mistreat undocumented immigrants in this country and to lessen the rate of immigration in the United States. It appears they're just learning now that his word isn't necessarily true, something that the rest of us have known for a long time. So I must admit there's a little schadenfreude in this. That's the German word for taking pleasure in someone else's pain. But at the end of the day, none of us can trust him. He may switch on a dime again. I don't think that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi should be condemned for trying to get the best they can out of him. I give them credit for that. But at the same time, I think we're all now learning that this is a man who is going to do whatever his narcissistic mind tells him to do. And that can be virtually anything. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx. How are you, sir?
What's up, Mark? Oh, what a great discussion you're having about Big Baby Trump.
Yes, he is.
I got to call it that, and even his most devout followers as well, because I term it as Big Baby for a reason. That, of course, we have said that Trump doesn't want to follow the laws or the Constitution. We already saw him going into a temper tantrum against Jemele Hill, who tweeted, ironically, saying that Trump is a white racist, narcissist, and sexist. You know, she was being pretty critical of him. Ms. Hill also commented on ESPN, but did not make the comments on ESPN.
Right, she made them in her private capacity. And you know, I wonder how anyone can deny these things. I mean, this is a man who first came into the popular press because he and his father wouldn't rent their buildings to African Americans. This is a man who put out, again, decades ago, a claim that the Central Park Five young African American teenagers were guilty. Of course, they weren't guilty, and he was calling for them to be locked up, I guess, without a trial. Uh-huh. And then, I mean, you know, everything from Mexicans are rapists to, of course, Charlottesville, where just this week he again complained that somehow people fighting against fascism were of the same ilk as those supporting fascism, which is really, really strange. And I just wonder which side he would have been on in World War II.
And it, ironically, he kept doubling down on those issues on his own Twitter thing. So it comes down to maybe what's good for the goose is good for the gander. He's all over on Twitter attacking Mexicans, attacking gays, attacking African Americans, attacking
asking the police to beat up people at a time when police violence against minority communities is at a record high, or at least we know about it at a record high because of videotape and such. He's asking police to mistreat suspects. Michael, hold on. I know you have more to say. We're running into a break, but I'll definitely catch you at the other side of the break.
Okie doke.
If you want to join in the conversation, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Feel free to call in and tell me what you think about the Trumper tantrum.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Got the results back from last week's show on Equifax. We talked about all the 143 million Americans, including you, including me, who had their information hacked, and not just information, right? Its name, its address, its social security number, its driver's license. It's all the things people need to apply to credit in your name. Thanks, Equifax. And, of course, Equifax gets your information without asking permission. They just grab it and use it and sell it and make money off your private information that you've never given them the permission to use. So I asked as a basic Twitter question, because this is something that could be decided by law, whether or not Congress should require the credit card, the credit reporting agencies like Equifax, to only share your personal information if you opt in, if you decide to allow them to do it, versus having to contact each of them and saying, hey, don't share my information. We got 147 votes, which is pretty good for a one-day show. Some voted on each side. We have 98% voted yes, and 2%, which I think comes down to two votes, saying no. So if you voted no, I'd like to hear from you. Call in today, 888-488-MARK, if you think that Equifax shouldn't have to ask permission to get your private information that was later hacked. I'm curious to know who you are. Anyway, we're getting back to the Trumper tantrum and why Trump supporters are shocked to find out that Donald Trump lied to them. Shocked to find out that he can be bribed much like, a three-year-old. You know what to do, by the way, if a two- or a three-year-old starts crying. You know, you shake your keys. You show them a bright, shiny object. You divert their attention, and soon they're off, and they've forgotten the thing they were so angry about. Well, Chuck and Nancy are doing pretty good with our toddler president, and I hope they continue to do well. But like any angry toddler, you never know when they'll switch sides. Let's go back to Michael, Old Faithful from the Bronx. Michael, you had more to say.
Yes, good buddy. What I was pointing out before the break is it seems like what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and apparently he's the type that wants to dish it out but never wants to take anything in return, and especially in the same matter. I mean, he's too chicken to say something to somebody's face or, like, say in the press, and won't face any kind of good constructive criticism or questions. No, he wants to be a big bully. And here's somebody named Jemele Hill standing up to the bully, just like the protesters stand up to the bullies. And what's so interesting about it also, since you mentioned it, Mark, about his followers, the thing is that since day one, many of us Trump critics, and particularly in believing that there's a connection or seeing more evidence of Russia collusion and Russia hacking into our election, and plus the rhetoric given by Trump in terms of him inciting violence, inciting racism, inciting police brutality. A lot of times we see stuff that we feel is impeachable offenses, and we hear the rhetoric of impeach Trump, prosecute Trump. His followers are the first to say, wait a minute, you got to respect the office of the president.
Yeah, you got to respect the president, but they were the ones who wanted to lock Hillary up without any due process or have even a trial or even evidence of any crime being committed. So I hear you. Thanks for your call, Michael. Appreciate it. Let me go to Reggie, line 3 in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Yeah, happy Monday to you too, Mark.
Happy Monday. Levine.
Yeah, why doesn't anybody try to stop this president, you know, President Donald J. Trump, concerning this DACA thing? Is it because they're afraid of him? They may be afraid that they may incur his full blown wrath, or are they out for themselves?
Well, you know, I think that it's interesting. I think the vast majority of Americans, as I've told you, actually believe these people should stay. There's actually more support for the Dreamers than any other group of undocumented immigrants in the United States for understandable reasons. They came here through no fault of their own. The average age was 6 when they came. So it's interesting. As I said, it's not just the majority of Democrats and independents that think they should be able to stay and have a path to citizenship. It's the majority of Republicans, too. Now, it's a smaller majority of Republicans. It's like 55-60% rather than, you know, the 80-90% you find among Democrats and, you know, 60-70% you find among independents. But the answer is this was something that they were going to do. This is something that, frankly, started under George W. Bush, who, by the way, supported basic immigration rights for these kids, and it didn't happen. And then when Obama became president, all the Republicans switched sides and filibustered so he couldn't get immigration reform. Largely, I think, not because they cared about the issue, but because, well, as Mitch McConnell put it at the time, his biggest goal was making sure President Obama was a one-term president. They wanted him to fail, even on issues they cared about. So someone like John McCain, who, you know, gave a heroic vote on health care, gave a very unheroic, really very disgusting switch on immigration reform because he used to support it until Obama became president, and then he no longer supported it. So I think that the Republicans opposed it mostly for political reasons. Now that Donald Trump has flip-flopped on it, it's interesting to see where Republicans land. Most don't want to talk about it. There are a few moderate Republicans that all along supported the rights of Dreamers and supported them becoming American citizens because, well, let's face it, all of us are descendants, except for unless you're Native American, you're a descendant of someone who came from another land. And so, you know, we should have sympathy for these kids. But there is a very strong minority of Republicans, and it's the ones who, you know, the Sean Hannitys and the Ann Coulters and the Laura Ingrams, talk radio hosts actually provide a lot of them. Fox News has a lot of them that really don't like immigration. And it's not about illegal immigration, which they claim it is. It really isn't, because they also are opposed to legal immigration. Republicans used to say, oh, we're fine with legal immigrants. We understand the Statue of Liberty. We just don't want people, you know, breaking our laws. That's the argument they used to make just 2 years ago. That's no longer their argument, because they're admitting that they don't like the Statue of Liberty. They don't believe in legal immigration. They don't. Now, you can ask why. There are different reasons. Some may be they're afraid of diversity. They're afraid of the fact that white people may be a minority over the next few decades. That doesn't scare me at all, but it scares some of those folks. Or they may be scared that immigrants are taking our jobs. And one of the things I wanted to point out before the break was that DACA and other immigrants, including undocumented immigrants, create jobs in America. They create more jobs than they take. The jobs they take at the low-skilled level tend to be the jobs that Americans don't want, jobs like picking fruit in the hot sun of California, which if there were, or Alabama for that matter. In fact, when Alabama put in measures to discriminate strongly against undocumented immigrants and to keep them from being hired, a lot of their farm work went undone because it is backbreaking hard work in the hot sun, and most American citizens didn't want to do it. So that's what the unskilled labor goes. And then the skilled labor, well, they create jobs. Let's not forget that the largest corporation in the world is Apple Computers. Apple Computers, founded by Steve Jobs, whose family was immigrants from Syria, right? I mean, the very country that we are now prohibiting refugees from, Syria, is a country that gave us our single greatest CEO probably in American history. So when I think about immigrants, I think about, oh, I don't know, people who have Chinese restaurants or people who have small businesses or people who have, small auto detailing centers. These are people hiring people, creating jobs. In fact, what's interesting is that economists have looked at the impact of deporting the Dreamers, and they found that it would cut our GDP by some 4 or 5%. In other words, our economic growth would slow because overall, these people create more jobs than they take. It's not like there's 100 jobs in the United States and you only fill 100. And if you got an immigrant there, then that's a job an American citizen can't fill. That's not how it works. It's a dynamic economic system. It's the free market, which Republicans used to support. And so jobs can and are being created. And indeed, some of our most creative forces are by immigrants and have always been for hundreds of years. My own great-grandfather sold women's dresses door-to-door until he could afford to buy a shop where, yes, he hired people in his little women's dress shop. I mean, that's the American dream. That's what it's all about. So, either it's racial, we don't like Latinos, right? Or it's just people not understanding the way economics works, not understanding that these immigrants create jobs far more than they take. Anything else you want to add, Reggie?
That number one, that all the Republicans are hypocrites, nothing more than hypocrites, mere hypocrites themselves, number one. And two, I think they're all the conservatives, or at least the very one, or at the very least, the very ones that you just mentioned to me, should themselves be the ones that should all be deported from this country, from the United States of America, not the legal immigrants. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they want to stop legal immigrants, too. And what's fascinating is you look at a guy like Steve Bannon. Now he's out of the White House. And he's fighting Trump. He's having his own Trumper tantrum. He doesn't know really which side Trump is on. But on immigration, Breitbart, they're the ones that absolutely oppose all immigration. And what's interesting is it'll be interesting to watch this Alabama race that's around the corner. So Jeff Sessions, of course, was sitting senator from Alabama for decades, became attorney general, leaving an empty seat. And this is a seat that right now there's a Republican primary between the appointed senator, Luther Strange, and Roy Moore. Now, Roy Moore famously was the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, who insisted on installing the Ten Commandments, which, of course, is a religious, work. It has secular ideas, don't kill, don't steal, but it also has things like no other gods before me, don't take the Lord's name in vain. It has religious principles. He insisted on installing it right there in the Alabama courthouse. Well, you can't establish a religion because guess what? The First Amendment says you can't establish a religion. So the law was pretty clear. He violated the law. They ordered him to remove it. He refused to remove it. So finally, they had to remove him from the court. This is the person that the Breitbart and company is trying to push to be Alabama's next senator, a guy who absolutely proudly violated the United States Constitution on a really obvious principle. And against this very mainstream Republican named Luther Strange. Now, Trump supports Strange, but Breitbart et al., all these Republicans, including Bannon, support Roy Moore. It'll be fascinating to see who wins that, because it's Trump kind of against his own supporters. And then if Moore wins, there's a chance, though I firmly admit it's a small one, that the Democrat might even beat Moore. But I recognize it's Alabama. I recognize that's unlikely. But the point is watching this fight between Trump supporters, between those that realize that he's only out for himself and those that still believe him as this messiah character who's going to magically rain down, I don't know what, white nationalism or jobs or whatever they think he's going to do. This is a very interesting battle to watch because both sides, in fact, are having a Trumper tantrum. Thank you for your call, Reggie. I'm going to take a little break. Encourage others to call as well at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When I come back, I want to talk about the congressional agenda that's coming up this fall. They only got about a month or so, and they're trying to do about 20 different things. I'll explain when we come back.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. A program note, I will not be on air Wednesday. I am flying to my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee to spend the High Holy Day of Rosh Hashanah with my family. So I won't be there on Wednesday. I will be back a week from today on Monday. Another program note, something I'm really proud of, a week from Monday, we will be hosted by Progressive Voices, probably the largest progressive podcast in the United States. Very proud to add my voices, and that should bring us a lot of new listeners from all across the country. And you can listen on Progressive Voices has an app and on iHeartRadio, and I'll be telling you more next week. But this will be a great way for you to access the program whenever and wherever you want it. You don't have to turn on your radio station or find me on Facebook or on my website. You can just tune into Progressive Voices and, heck, check out some other Progressive Voices while you're there. So we'll have more on that next week. Coming up in the next few months, Congress has a lot to do and very little time to do it. I mentioned high holy days. They tend to occur in September or October, just when Congress is getting together after the August recess. That makes it hard for them to do things. And, of course, they have a lot to do. We talked a lot about DACA and the fact that Trump promised to really to allow these kids to stay in return for some kind of enhanced border security, not the wall. Kind of a reasonable thing, after all. That's what Chuck and Nancy said, and, you know, that might make sense. Well, we'll find out if that gets done. Meanwhile, they're trying health care yet again. That's right. The repeal and replace Obamacare idea has not died in the Republican Party. Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy are trying one last time with a bill that will cut off tens of millions of Americans on health care. They're going to try to take the bill that passed the House and tweak it one last time. And I'm very proud of you folks out there at Radio Land, because we jointly stopped it each time. You called your member of Congress, and you're going to have to do it again. Okay, we can't be complacent. We can't let them slip this one through. 202-224-3121 is the Capitol switchboard. Call your senator and ask him or her to oppose the repeal of Obamacare. I think we're okay with Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. I think they'll stand firm just as they did before. But I'm a little worried about our good friend John McCain. I say good friend in quotes because sometimes he's a friend and sometimes he's not. If the Arizona governor changes his view on the act, then John McCain just might change his. There is a possibility that Rand Paul will vote against it. Rand Paul, of course, opposes anything that's not a pure repeal because he wants pure libertarianism. But something makes me think that Rand Paul, if push came to shove, if he were the deciding vote, he'd fold. So we need McCain to stand firm. I don't know what's going to happen. It's possible the Senate will pass something and then they can't agree on anything in the Senate and the House. But that's coming up. Luckily for us who oppose the Trump agenda, there's a lot for them to do in addition to immigration, in addition to health care. They're trying to pass some kind of tax reform. I mean, this is why the big rich donors to the Republican Party voted for Trump. They don't care about his nationalist agenda. They don't care much about immigration. They're not even necessarily supportive of his views on Charlottesville. They just want money. They are billionaires, and they want more money. And this is what Donald Trump promised them. Well, it's going to be hard to get all this done in the middle of everything else. Paul Ryan's doing his best. He also loves those tax cuts for super rich people. But he's already lying to the American public about the corporate tax rate, by the way. The corporate tax rate may be high, but that's because very, very few corporations pay it. Some three-quarters of American corporations pay no taxes at all. So that's another thing that maybe they could come to a deal, but there's not much time. Then there's the budget. The Democrats, by extending the debt ceiling only 3 months to December, will be able to put their finger on the budget and weigh in there. That was the benefit of the deal they signed. And then there's just all kinds of ordinary business. I mean, North Korea is busy shooting missiles across Japan. And I hope we're doing something behind the scenes. I actually think we should be arming South Korea and Japan behind the scenes, even possibly allowing nuclear weapons on their soil with American triggers behind it, with American soldiers behind it, so that these countries can defend themselves and then exchange, say, South Korea's nuclear weapons for North Korea's nuclear weapons to denuclearize the zone. I don't know if anyone's clever enough to do that. I think some military people are. Not so sure about the Donald. Meanwhile, you know, Donald's got to go, and he's got to go to his golf courses. He's got to take time off. You know, he's working Monday to Wednesday from 9 a.m. to noon, and that's, you know, that tires him out. He didn't realize that being a president would be so hard. And then people criticize him all the time just because he lies, just because he colluded with our greatest enemy and basically helped him commit espionage. People can be so mean. And that's why Donald Trump has a tantrum a lot. What's interesting, though, is whether his supporters do too. Maybe, just maybe, he will lose support on all sides. And then the entire nation will recognize him for the big baby that he is. This is Mark Levine. Tune in next Monday at this time. For now, I'm signing off.